Liebe Zuschauerinnen, liebe Zuschauer.
Dear listeners, welcome to a reading from the great work of Revelation. This is my word, Alpha and Omega, the Gospel of Jesus, the Christ revelation which true Christians the world over have come to know. In this mighty turn of time, the Spirit of the Christ of God Himself revealed to us in the prophetic word through His teaching prophetess and emissary, Gabriele, details of His mighty presence in Jesus of Nazareth. He said about this, I am the Christ of God, the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth, and the truth that I am shines into this world in countless facets. Dear listeners, today we want to read several of these facets for you. In chapter 17, we read the words of Jesus from a largely unknown gospel. These words were explained, corrected, and deepened by Christ Himself via the prophetic word in our time. We start with reading in the Gospel of the Holy Twelve. And Jesus went unto a mountain to pray, and having called His 12 disciples, He gave them power to cast out unclean spirits and to heal all kinds of diseases and pestilences. And the names of the 12 apostles who stood for the 12 tribes of Israel were Peter, called Cephas, for the tribe of Reuben, James, for the tribe of Naphtali, Thomas, called Didymus, for the tribe of Zebulun, Matthew, called Levi, for the tribe of Gad, John, for the tribe of Ephraim, Simon, for the tribe of Issachar, Andrew, for the tribe of Joseph, Nathanael, for the tribe of Simeon, Jacob, for the tribe of Benjamin, Jude, for the tribe of Dan, Philip, for the tribe of Asher, and Judas Iscariot, a Levite, who betrayed Him, was also among them, but he was not of them. And Matthias and Barsabbas were also present with them.
Christ explains, corrects, and deepens the word. He reveals. The words unclean spirits mean the impure souls, which often cling to human beings in clusters. As Jesus of Nazareth, I already indicated what was to come by entrusting the 12 disciples with building 12 communities, because they too, just like people in future generations, could hardly grasp the depth of in their life, which says, fulfill the law and then act. They were unable to fulfill many things which I had entrusted to them. I had entrusted these things to them because they had heard much divine wisdom, and it would have been time to give it a material form. Despite everything, ever further evolutionary steps of the kingdom of peace of Jesus Christ took place from one epoch to another. At the present time as well, in which the first foundations of the kingdom of peace of Jesus Christ are becoming visible, many of my faithful from the tribe of David and from other lineages are active in my work of redemption. The faithful are with me, and I work through them. As in those days, so today, there are a few among them who do not gather, but scatter. They repeatedly create points of access for the darkness through which it can attack. For that reason, the faithful have great difficulties. Nevertheless, with them, I am the victor over the earth and over the spears of purification. Just as I sent the apostles into the world at that time, so I will gradually send my own, who fulfill the law of life, into the world as spiritual teachers. Through my own, I will found new first communities in me, Christ, the universal Spirit, so that many people find their way via these stations of communities to the central light, to the new Jerusalem on this earth with its 12 gates.
We continue reading in the Gospel of the Holy Twelve. And in like manner, he called 12 others to be prophets, to be men of light with the apostles, and he showed them the secrets of God. And their names were Hermes, Aristobulus, Selenius, Nereus, Apollos, and Barsabas, Andronicus, Lucius, Apelles, Zacchaeus, Urbanus, and Clementos. And then he selected 12 more to be evangelists and 12 to be pastors. He called 4 times 12 and sent them out to the 12 tribes of Israel, 4 to each tribe. And they stood around the master, clad in white linen raiments, called to form a holy priesthood of God in service of the 12 tribes to which they would be sent. And Christ explains, corrects, and deepens the word. As Jesus of Nazareth, in the earthly garment, I acted in a way similar to how I taught and teach the prophets and spiritual teachers and all sons and daughters of God from the lineage of David and from other lineages, via the prophetic word, through the incarnated portray of divine wisdom, sending them into the world according to their actualization. I taught the faithful ones and instructed them in the actualization of the laws of God. A few of them began to speak prophetically. Others, who are called evangelists and pastors in this book, were the spiritual teachers and elders, who were to co-found the communities and look after them. The word priesthood has the following meaning. They are people who strive only to fulfill the will of God, without ceremonies or rites.
The Gospel describes more from the life of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus sent out these 4 times 12 and charged them, saying, "With your companions, I want you to be my 12 apostles, a testimony to Israel. Go into the cities of Israel and to the lost sheep of Israel. And when you go there, preach and say, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' As I have baptized you with water, so baptize all those who believe." Christ explains, corrects, and deepens the word. In the book it is written, "As I have baptized you with water," this means the following, "just as you were baptized with water, so will I, the Christ of God, baptize with the Spirit of truth all those whom you have taught according to the laws of life and who have actualized them, and they will speak henceforth from the Spirit of truth."
We continue reading in the Gospel. "Anoint and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out the demons. Freely you have received it, freely give it. You shall not provide yourselves with gold, nor silver, nor copper money in your purses, nor a bag for your journey, nor 2 coats, nor shoes, not even a staff. For a workman is worthy of his food. And eat what is set before you, but do not touch what was taken at the cost of life, for it is not lawful for you." Christ explains, corrects, and deepens the word. "Anoint and heal the sick" means cleanse and heal the sick and lepers, and anoint them with the Spirit, by instructing them in the laws of life and helping them to recognize these laws and to actualize them, that is, to clear things up and no longer do what is sinful. "I spoke from the supreme law, the absolute law, which is above all humanness. Raise the dead, cast out the demons.
Tote zu erwecken ist nur dann möglich.
Raising the dead is possible only when the soul is not burdened with grave causes and collective guilt. I did indeed entrust this assignment to my apostles and disciples. However, at the same time, I also said that this is possible only for the one who lives in the absolute law and who works from the absolute law.
Christ reveals more in the prophetic word through Gabriela. Raising the dead was possible at my time as Jesus of Nazareth, because then the poor Seldon had to expiate a collective guilt. At the present time, most people bear part of a collective guilt, so that raising the dead in this sinful world is hardly possible. A collective guilt comes into being when together people kill human beings or animals and violate the plant and mineral kingdoms. The soul of a so-called dead person can be called back into the body only if it is spiritually awakened and freely decides to return. Otherwise, the raising of a deceased person would be against the law of free will of the soul. Because when its spiritual eyes are clouded by sin, it cannot freely decide. Furthermore, the soul can return only as long as it is still connected with the body through the information cord. Casting out demons means driving earthbound, benighted souls from the temple, from the human being. This is possible only for the one who fulfills the laws of God and speaks with authority, and at that, only when the human being who attracted the earthbound soul no longer holds on to it through the thoughts, words, and actions that attracted it in the first place.
Christ reveals further. The statement, "You shall not provide yourselves with gold, nor silver, nor copper money in your purses, nor a bag for your journey, nor two coats, nor shoes, not even a staff," means that you should not surround yourselves with the burdensome weights of this world, nor laboriously bear what is unnecessary to you, for the paths are stony, and you walk on them with your feet. Everything that is unnecessary is useless weight and only delays you on your journey. We continue reading in the Gospel. And into whatever city you will enter, inquire whether there is someone who is worthy, and stay there until you leave. Whenever you come into a house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. Christ explains, corrects, and deepens the word. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you means to bring love and peace into every house. Do not impose the gifts of heaven upon the one who does not want them. And when you are not received, do not be annoyed. Then the peace which you have expressed toward the house and its dwellers will be with you again.
Jesus of Nazareth continues speaking. We read in the Gospel of the Holy Twelve, "Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Be innocent and pure. The Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to save, neither to take life, but to give life to the body as well as to the soul. And do not fear those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Christ explains, corrects, and deepens the word. He reveals, It is only the person himself who destroys his soul and his body through his human thinking, speaking, and acting, whereby he establishes contact with the darkling. What is against the divine law brings destruction to man. Therefore, fear solely your own offenses, for what man sows, he will reap. And recognize, hell is no place but the condition of a soul which has given itself into the hands of the unlawful, of the prince of darkness.
Let us read further in the Gospel and hear what Jesus of Nazareth said to the disciples. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Yet none of them falls to the ground without the will of the Most High. Verily, even all the hairs on your head are numbered. Therefore, do not be afraid. If God cares for the sparrows, should he not care for you too? It is enough for disciples to be as their master and the servants as their Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call his household? Therefore, fear them not. Nothing is concealed that will not become revealed, and nothing is secret that will not be known. When the time comes for it, bring to light what I tell you in secret, and preach on the housetops what you hear in your ear. Therefore, whosoever will confess the truth before men, him will I also confess before my Father, who is in heaven. But whosoever will deny the truth before men, him will I also deny before my Father, who is in heaven.
Christ reveals more in the prophetic word through Gabriela. God is omnipresent, and he knows everything that is, for he is the life and the power in everything. His power is in every animal, and so the animal is life from him. The power of God, his life, is in each hair. He is, and since he is, and is in all things, he also knows everything, and knows about everything. All the more does the Eternal Father know his child, whom he created in his image. Nothing is concealed from him, the Eternal. Even when a person has secrets from others, these seemingly secret things are not concealed from him. When the time has come, everything will be disclosed, the good and the less good. A person should therefore fear only his humanness, because this is his seed. When this begins to sprout and grow, it will become apparent and visible to the person who has sown it, himself, as well as to the one who is involved or who was innocently despised because of it.
Christ continues, therefore, be careful to sow only good seeds, so that your harvest will be the inner maturity. The truth should be voiced. It is the light of the soul, and the one who lives in the light of truth knows the word of truth. He will neither judge nor condemn, but will accept and receive his neighbor in his heart, and will thus be with me, the Christ. Again and again, you should become conscious of the fact that human words can have different meanings. The one who lives in the spirit of truth does not repudiate his neighbor. The one who repudiates him has banished him from his heart. For this reason, the words, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven, mean that I cannot lead to my Father the one who does not live the law, the truth, and he cannot raise him into heaven, for heaven is the truth. And the truth is the law. Recognize, The one who rejects the truth because he does not want to accept and actualize it from the commandments does not know himself as a being of light. The one who does not know himself is also unable to enter heaven, which is his real home. Only after the purification of his soul will he know himself and enter heaven. The pure one is from the truth and speaks from the truth. The one who does not live the truth denies the truth, which is God, to whom everything is revealed. Since God is manifest truth, nothing remains hidden, nor anything secret.
Jesus of Nazareth continues speaking. We read in the Gospel, "Verily, I have come to send peace to the earth. But behold, when I speak, a sword follows. I have come to unite, but behold, a son will be against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be of his own household. For the unjust cannot be together with the just." Christ explains, corrects, and deepens the word. He reveals, "But behold, when I speak, a sword follows," means that the one who hears the word of the truth and does not follow it and only speaks of it acts against the truth and therefore against the Holy Spirit. He creates the sword himself, which is also called the cause. And thus my words, which are the truth, are the sword for those who do not actualize them. I have come to unite means to bring all men and nations together, to be one people of God.
Christ continues, "The one who acts against the law of life, of unity, is also against God, who is the unity, and against his Son, Christ, who I am. The one who thinks, speaks, and acts against God and my work on this earth scatters and does not unite. He does not follow the laws of life. The one who is not for me is against me. The one who is against me, the life, is also against his neighbor. Thus, what is written takes place. A son will be against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be of his own household. For the unjust cannot be together with the just. The law of God says, like attracts like. The unjust are drawn to the unjust, the just to the just."
In the Gospel of the Holy Twelve, Jesus of Nazareth ends his speech with the following words, "And those who do not take up their cross and follow me are not worthy of me. The one who finds his life will lose it, and the one who loses his life for my sake will find it." Christ explains, corrects, and deepens the word. The one who finds his life will lose it, and the one who loses his life for my sake will find it. The meaning of these words is that the one who considers his earthly life to be his real life will lose it and will not know himself as a soul and will not find his home. The one who values his earthly life but places his spiritual life above everything will also find it within himself. And he will also know his home, for he is consciously a son or a daughter of God in the kingdom of life.
Dear listeners, we read for you from the great work of Revelation, "This is my word, Alpha and Omega, the Gospel of Jesus, the Christ revelation which true Christians the world over have come to know." We thank you for your attention and will be pleased if we can greet you to a further reading. For today, we take our leave of you with a warm greetings in God.